You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
So here we go. Let's go there together. It'll be up on your screen. Grab your Bible. 2 Samuel 23 says this: during the harvest time, three of 30 chief men came down to David at the cave of Adullam, with the band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink from the water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So three mighty men, someone say mighty men, broke through the Philistine line, say broke through, and drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem and carried it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this," he said. "It is not the blood of men who went to risk their lives," and David would not drink it. The title of this message this evening is Creating Overflow. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We declare, have your way. Lord, we declare that your word is the highest authority in our lives. We declare it's a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Father, we lift up right now the name of Jesus. We declare your name is above every name. And we declare your name is exalted today. Father, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Lord, we came tonight to hear from you, to hear from heaven. So we declare, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And everyone who loves God and loves his word, say amen.
Amen
and amen. The prophetic word over this house of 2017, Pastor Chris ministered at the New Year's Eve service. If you didn't hear it, I really encourage you to go to the podcast and you can listen to it or you can watch it. But he said, it's a year of overflow. And we know that last year was a year of jubilee. And I want to talk about this. What does it mean to be a prophetic word? Because a lot of people say they're prophetic and it's not prophetic. And a lot of people give prophetic words, but we don't know how to receive prophetic words. Just because a prophetic word is given does not mean it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
A prophetic word is an invitation for you to come in alignment with the perfect will of God for your life or a certain season. It's an invitation. It's not guaranteed. It's an opportunity for you to come in line and receive it. So when the word of Jubilee was given forth, Heather and I came in unity and we said, we are going to receive this word. Hear it. There was a yes in our spirit that this is a word for us. Not only was it a word that we received, but it was a word that we took faith and action in and we received it. All of the blessings of Jubilee, we personally experienced this year.
Yeah.
So after Jubilee, they would store up so much that they would have overflow. You'll get this if you heard that message or you listened to the podcast. And this was the word over the house, overflow. And I heard in my spirit that I was supposed to minister on this. Here's what Pastor Chris said. He said, if God is giving his best, we are required to give ours, or it means that we are required to take action. Just because a prophetic word is given does not mean it's going to come to pass if you do not come in alignment with it. A lot of people think prophetic words are just fluffy, goofy, fun things that are spoken over people. It's not true. A lot of times prophetic words are correction. A lot of times prophetic words are warnings to look out for things. And if you take heed to those warnings, then you'll be spared the consequence of what's coming around, or you'll be prepared for what God wants to do next. I feel this strong in my spirit. If this is a prophetic word of overflow, it means that there's going to be a significant task in 2018 that we will need to have that overflow for. I feel that strong in my spirit right now. Overflow. 2 Samuel chapter 23, this is the story of David and his mighty men. This is David before he's the king. This is David in the cave of Adullam. You all know the story of David and Goliath. He kills Goliath. He wins favor. They sing the songs that Saul has slain thousands, but David had tens of thousands. He became insta-popular or social media famous before there was social media. And Saul became very jealous of him. So he started to try to hurt him. And then he actually tried to kill him. So David had to flee because his life was in danger. And the Bible said that disgruntled or offended or broken individuals that were crushed in their souls and spirits, they gathered around David and they went into a cave rejects. But the Bible says that something happened in that cave. Something happened in that season of pressure. Like when Pastor Chris said, pressure will either crush you or make a diamond out of you. I rebuke you, Daniel, right now in Jesus' name, taking pictures. But one of those things, it's either going to crush you or it's going to make something great inside you. And those men were in a cave of Adullam. And the Bible says that they came into the cave as rejects, but they walked out of the cave as mighty men. So 2 Samuel 23 is telling you the story of what some of these mighty men did. Some of them took on other giants because David was the first giant killer, but he raised up an army of giant killers. One went and killed a giant with six fingers on his hand. Another one went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And three individuals that were mighty men heard David in the middle of an intense battle desire water. Hear this tonight. Three men weren't told what to do. They weren't instructed. They weren't given an assignment. It wasn't a mandate. They overheard, watch, the king's heart's desire. See, you're not going to hear the king's desire unless you're close to the king. You're not going to hear the heart of the Father unless you're spending time with the Father. I tell you my prayer every single year when I'm asking the Lord for a prophetic word over the body of Christ or Reach Church. I'll tell you what I've been praying all week for Reach Church. Father, give me your heart for your people. If you stop asking for God's hand and start asking for his heart, you get it all. They weren't told what to do. They weren't picked. They just heard the king's heart's desire. And he said out loud, oh, that I would have water near the well near the gate of Bethlehem. And they took it upon themselves to put their life in jeopardy. And they fought their way all the way to the well, drew the water, got it in their possession, and brought it back to the king. Man, I could imagine what their faces were like when they risked their life, when they weren't asked to. You know, when ladies, when you clean the house and your husband got home and he didn't expect it, or he came back from a long business trip and the house is just flawless. Or maybe you did the dishes or cleaned the kitchen for your wife before she got home and you're just sitting there like, I did this. And you're waiting for that response. Or you know when your kids make something or draw something or win an award. Peyton won the Joy Award at school. And she'd been wearing her little Joy trophy necklace medallion thing, whatever they gave her. And she's been wearing it, telling everybody, I'll take her with me on a ministry trip. She's like, I got a Joy Award. She'll ask me, Dad, we went to Seattle for vacation, go Seahawks. And we were there. And she goes, Dad, can I bring my Joy Award? And her face, you know, when they want to see how you're going to respond. I can imagine the three men and how they couldn't wait to see the face of the king when they brought him the water, waiting anxiously. And David takes the water and he dumps it out. Could you imagine? I've preached this many different ways over the last 18 years of ministry. Occasionally I'd have a youth kid when I did youth ministry go and get me a Starbucks in the middle of my sermon. And people are like, oh, I can't believe you do that. And they would come running back in. We have to end it. And I'd take it and dump it out. And their face would just go, just mortified. Just, I hate church. You know, just leave. And that's just a cup that they had to drive 2 minutes away for. These guys risked their lives. And he dumped it out. I believe in this text is a hidden revelation. Do you know why I love God's word? Is that you can read the same story 1,000 times, But when the Holy Spirit kisses it, that rhema comes alive and it says something new, even though the text doesn't change. I believe that there's a revelation tonight for this house on creating overflow. How many are ready to receive it tonight? Three ways to create overflow. Number one, from 2 Samuel 23, unity creates overflow. It says, so three mighty men broke through. It wasn't one. It wasn't the Lone Ranger. It wasn't the superstar. It wasn't the hot shot. It wasn't the world's greatest one-man show. It says three men got in unity. You've heard Pastor preach many times on the synergy of unity. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. But a three-chord strand is not easily broken. There is power in unity. Why do you think the Bible, or why do you think the enemy works so hard to divide? Do you know you never have to work at division? Isn't it interesting how easy it is? I mean, it is so, you don't know how easy to just jump on Facebook. It is so easy to divide, but unity is intentional. Unity takes humility. Unity takes work. Unity takes effort. Let's look at another scripture in the Word of God, Psalms 133. It says this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. If you skip down to verse 3, it says there, God commands a blessing. In unity, God commands a blessing. Hear this word. You will not receive overflow if you're divided. You're not going to walk in overflow when you're divided in your marriage. You're not going to walk in overflow when you're at each other's throats all the time. Unity is powerful. Yeah. Unity commands a blessing. Heather and I have found that when we stand in agreement together, when we unite our faith together, when we believe together, that's when we see the greatest demonstration of the power of God in our life is when we come to in agreement together. I felt like I was supposed to challenge you tonight to be in unity with your children. For some reason, I felt in prayer, I was supposed to challenge you. I feel like some of your children are believing God. They need to be taught how to believe God. And you're supposed to challenge them and come in unity and agreement with your children, your teenagers. And then as I was praying for you, I felt the objection come. I heard in my spirit someone say, well, what if God doesn't do it? And I felt like I was supposed to challenge you and say, it's as much for you as it is for them. I feel strong in my spirit that there's a family that needs to come in unity. I feel like in your children's school or in some sport, something, they're trying to accomplish something and it's going to take faith to do it. Yeah. And if you would come in alignment with unity, you're going to see overflow begin to create in your family. There's individuals that are believing God to go to a place financially that you've never been before. And you've even talked in your marriage, maybe this word of overflow, maybe it's happening, maybe this is for us. And I came with the word for you tonight that if you come into unity, you're gonna see it come into fruition. Now watch out, here's the warning, the enemy comes to divide. I feel this so strong. If you get this prophetic word, it's gonna save so much pain. Is there a storm going on or something? Amber alert. Okay, listen. You are gonna be fighting. I felt this so strong in my spirit. You're gonna be fighting and it's gonna come to you. This is an attack on unity. I'm telling you, the enemy will cause it. The enemy will lead you into it. You're gonna have to not fight each other, but fight for unity. Let me show you one more scripture about this. John 7:38 says this, whoever believes in me, scripture says, rivers of living water flow through them. So watch, when we carry Christ in us, when he lives and abides in us and us in him, the Bible says that we are rivers of living water. Are you with me? Yeah. So when rivers come together, that's when floods happen. Yeah. That's when there's natural overflow. Yeah. This is why people that want to do the Lone Ranger church missions ministry thing all by them lonesome self and have a Facebook church. This is why there's no power in them, because they don't get the unity that God teaches us about. So rivers have to come together. And watch, when the rivers come together, they form a body. Where there's a body of water, that's where there has to be enough water for precipitation to take place. And that is when the rains come, the clouds, the rains come from the precipitation from a body of water. When the body of Christ comes together and we become in unity, that's when we're going to see the Joel 2:28. That's why it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, because the body has come together in unity. Watch what happens when you come in unity in your life groups. Watch what happens when you are intentional about unifying. I got to keep going. In God's house. Number one, unity creates overflow. Number two, pressing in with deeper devotion creates overflow. Pressing in. 2 Samuel 23 verse 16 says, so there are mighty men. The three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines. Watch, they didn't walk in. They didn't skip in. Their pastor didn't go for them. Hear it, they broke through. Overflow is created by pressing. And here's the thing, is the body of Christ has become spiritually lazy. We want someone on Facebook to pray for us. We want somebody to war for us. That's when spiritual warfare comes. We feel that the effects of warfare, we don't know what to do. The church has become soft. The church has become weak. We don't know what God's word says. We're not devoted in God's word. So what happens is, as the enemy comes and we can't respond, it is written, because we don't know what's written. Come on, hear this word tonight. We have to press in with our devotion for God. That's why at Reach Church and believers around the world are doing a 21 days of prayer and fasting. Yeah. Prayer and fasting is pressing into your faith. Yeah. It's pressing in with your spirit. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah. We've allowed the flesh to become too strong in our lives. Amen. With our eating pattern, our flesh is too strong. With our mouths, our flesh is too strong. Probably one of the greatest fruit of the spirit that we lack is self-control. Why? Because our flesh is too strong. Just want to give them a piece of my mind. Our flesh is too strong. Come on, somebody. I need to put them in their place. Our flesh is too strong. If you want overflow in your life, you're going to have to press in. Can I just be real with you? I hate fasting. I like to eat. Anybody else? In fact, knowing I was going to fast this holiday, I ate a little extra. You know, just hibernate, getting ready for it. I hate it. We do 21-day fast every year. And last year when I was releasing my book, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to do another 21-day fast. He said, now I want you to fast for those you're going to minister to. So for 42 days, I didn't eat a bite of food in 42 days. I hated every minute of it. I don't like it. When my kids get Chick-fil-A, I just want to punch them. I don't look at my calendar, I'm like, yes, here comes a fast. No, I look at it and I'm like, oh, there it is. It's coming. It's like a dentist appointment. You're not like, yeah, let's go to the dentist. No, you're like, ah, oh, I gotta go. I don't like fasting. But the reason I fast is because I love the results. Not the physical results, because I've seen year after year and scenario after scenario and month after month, I've seen the demonstration of God's power. Listen, fasting doesn't move God. It moves you. I can't fast. No, you're just spiritually weak. Do you know I can't find one place in the Bible where they're like, all Israel came to a fast except for the people that had a hard time fasting. Esther called everyone to a 3-day fast except for the people that didn't like it. Come on, somebody. Now, what was the number one thing that creates unity? Help me, my good, help me. Unity. So watch, when your pastor calls a fast, unity comes in alignment with that word and says, God didn't call me to fast. Well, you're in this church. I'm not going to fast unless the Lord calls me to fast. Isn't it funny how the Lord's never called you to fast? Jesus already came and finished the work, so we don't need to fast, except he told the Pharisees, after I leave, my disciples will pray and fast. Helps to know the word, right? Come on. I hate fasting, but I know my flesh is too strong that I have to fast, so it will become weaker. So my spirit will come alive. I want to challenge you tonight. I felt specifically I was supposed to challenge you that have you not started to fast, fast with us. I'm not harping. I don't know who's fasting, who's not fasting. I just came to challenge you. Fast. Start now. Partial fast. Well, I don't know fast. I don't know how to fast. I just start fasting things you love. I don't know if I can do it. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can do when your flesh doesn't own you. Here, listen. I'm trying to help create overflow in your life. I'm trying to help create breakthrough in your life. If you want to go where you haven't gone yet in God, you have to do what you haven't done yet before. I'm trying to get you to a place, listen, that the enemy can't do his same tricks on you over and over, and the snares and traps of 2016 don't work in 2017, because you are ready for battle, because you are prayed up and fasted up and you have pressed into the things of God. I got to keep going. You got to go listen to Pastor Chris's message, because he talked about the threshing floor, and that's a place of pressing. Number three, third thing, is pouring out creates overflow. I wrote my message, and then I went back and watched the New Year's Eve message, and it was amazing how unified this message was. What God put in my heart and what Pastor Chris declared over this house at the New Year's Eve service. His entire message was about giving to God, and God gives to you. Listen, when we hear overflow, I don't know how your mind works, but my carnal mind thinks I'm receiving. Overflow, I'm gonna be blessed. Overflow, God, what are you gonna give me? Overflow, what are you gonna do in my life? Overflow, how much higher can I go? Over, come on, somebody. Am I the only dirty dog here? I can't wait. It's like Christmas all year long. What are you gonna do for me, God? That's not how you create overflow. That's how you stay in the same complacent, lukewarm place that you've been for years. That didn't get many claps. It's okay. It's okay. They don't have me preach because I make you shout. Here we go. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Hear this. David refused to drink the water, but instead he took the water. He took the thing that was valuable. He took his heart's desire. And he poured it out. Now, this doesn't make sense for anybody. It doesn't make sense for the guys that got the water, because then we do the spiritual thing of, why did this happen? If God told me to do this, then how come it ended like this? And I really thought he said to do this, but now it doesn't make sense. And we're trying to figure it out, but we will not figure it out, because his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. Hear me. And the way that we find the perfect will of God is just by being obedient. He takes this water and he pours it out. And as he pours it out, watch, it wasn't overflow until it hit the ground. The moment the water hit the ground, the entire well was his. David didn't desire a cup. He desired the well. Listen, he wasn't anointed king for a cup. He was anointed king for the entire city. For the entire, hear this word, for the entire region. He said, watch, what's in my hand must be poured out. And as I pour out what is valuable to me, God then in return pours out, when we pour out what's in our hand, he pours out what's in his hand. I'm going to show you a funny picture. And then Aaron, I want you to start playing. Can you go to that next slide where you show that picture? Heather and I were in Dallas yesterday filming at Daystar. And we're about to go on, and I got to go to the bathroom because I've been fasting. So I turned to the production lady. I was like, where's the closest restroom? And she goes, it's down that hallway in the dungeon. So I go down there, and I'm at the urinal, about to go on live TV. And I read this sign. Per management, please flush only one time. Multiple flushes cause overflow. I thought, what a weird way to say that. Come on, Aaron, team, play with me. I'm reading this sign. And I hear the Lord say, when you continuously pour yourself out, it will create overflow in your life. In our mind, watch this. We think that overflow will be created by us receiving. When overflow will be created by us giving. Can I challenge you tonight? Don't believe God for an amount of money this year. Come into agreement with how much you're going to give by faith this year. What if the only number you thought about was what you were believing in your heart to in faith give? What if instead of worrying about what God was going to give you, what if you were obsessed with what you could give him? What if you stayed up at night instead of making a financial outline or a five-year plan? What if you dreamt about what you can do for God? What you can give? What you can pour out? What if you and your husband and wife got together and late at night in bed, instead of talking about the next vacation, talked about what you can do for the kingdom together in unity? What if you talked about what you can come to agreement with and believe God to do in your life? Watch the young men, the three mighty men, poured themselves out to get the water. They came in unity together. Then David took that same water and poured it out before the Lord again. And then God said, in return, I'm going to pour myself out to you and give you the kingdom that was prophesied. Stand to your feet all over this place. It's not overflow until it's poured out. I felt like I was supposed to ask you two questions. What's in your hand and what's in your heart? Some of you have thought about starting a life group more times than you can remember, but you haven't done it yet. It's still in your hand. Poured out. Some of you have seen the Dream Team video so many times, and man, there's so many people here, and there's so many there. They don't need me. Oh. You need overflow. Pour yourself out. I'm telling you, some of you are so gifted in business. You've seen the hand of God bless you. I have a prophetic word for you tonight. You haven't seen nothing yet. When you get this revelation of overflow that came through our pastor,
that what you've seen is just what's in your hand. Don't trade what's in your hand for what's, or don't trade, you have to trade what's in your hand for what's in God's hand. Don't hold on to it. For some of you, it's time. For some of you, it's personal sacrifice and devotion. For some of you, it's gifts. For some of you, it's treasure. This is a year of overflow. And this is a year to pour yourself out. Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. One way that we pour ourselves out is in worship. This house is about to go into another realm of worship. But you go into that realm through the press. You go to that realm through the threshing floor. The threshing floor, the place of pressing, the place of brokenness, the place of sacrifice, the place of worship. This house has a prophetic word of overflow. Will you come into alignment with it tonight? Will you come in alignment with it this year? If there's a yes in your spirit, lift both hands to God. Begin singing, Aaron. Come on, let's begin to worship. Lift both hands to God. I feel right now that the Lord is about to call you to action. Pastor Chris talked about it in action. I believe the Lord is speaking to your hearts, amounts this year that you're going to give. I believe the Lord is speaking to you, ministries that you're supposed to serve. I feel like the Lord is speaking to you, actions of faith that you and your wife are supposed to do. I feel in my spirit the Lord is calling some of you to go to the next missions trip to Africa. The Lord is calling you to take a different step of faith that you haven't had before. Listen, if you're going to go where you haven't gone, you have to do what you haven't do. This is what God is calling us to go to, a deeper place of intimacy with Him this year, that we hold nothing back. We pour everything out. Come on, let's end this service tonight by pouring ourselves out in worship. Let's give God everything we have tonight. Father, I declare that this is a season of overflow, a season of unity, a season of deeper devotion, a season of pouring ourselves out. Father, I thank you, God.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.